In Malachi, it says a pure sacrifice will be made continuously. What about the time in between offerings in Mass? Should we continuously eat and drink communion all day, every day? Well, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't say continuous. It says from the rising of the sun to its setting. Catholics, we have Mass pretty much every hour. On the hour, there will be a Mass starting somewhere in the world. Actually, many, many Masses starting somewhere in the world. So it's a worship service. If you look at Malachi 1:11, it's talking about offering incense and offering a pure offering, a sacrifice. That's a worship service. Pastor says, well, we offer ourselves, and the Bible tells us to be pure. How many of you have been pure your entire lives? Raise your hand. Anybody here been pure your entire life? The only pure offering ever offered to the Father is Jesus Christ. Period. Now, we might at some point in our life be pure. Like, maybe I'm pure right now. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'll sin again. But no one can say, except Jesus Christ, that they were pure for their entire lives. That they had no blemish. That's what it's about. Offering a sacrifice with no blemish. A pure offering. So again, this is not about eating and drinking continuously. It's all day long, throughout the world, from the rising of the sun to its setting, a worship service is going on. In that worship service, incense is offered and a pure offering, Jesus Christ.
Again, John just assumed Malachi 1:11 is talking about the communion or the Lord's Supper. There's nothing in the context talking about that at all. He just assumed that, and John in the debate was to prove what you're trying to say, not just assume it. Do all Catholic parishes offer Mass every hour of every day? It seems to me if they don't, then, and this is talking about that, then they're violating this passage. The truth of the matter is that in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, they didn't do it every day. They did it every first day of the week. About the pure, Hebrews chapter sacrifice, Hebrews 13, 15, we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's pure. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, that we are to be, verse 22, we are to be, keep thyself pure. And in Romans 12, verse 1, we are to offer ourselves, our body, as a living sacrifice. So the word pure in 1 Timothy 5, 22 is the same, in the English at least, as the word in Matthew 1, 11. So these are all good possibilities of what this could be talking about. We all are to offer ourselves as a pure sacrifice. All of John's words he added to that aren't in the text. That's all we have to do. There are many possibilities about what this could mean. John just assumed what it was talking about. Oh, question for me now. For Pat, the church believed in the real presence for centuries. Was there a new revelation at the time of the Reformation to support symbolic presence? Well, we looked at Origen and Tertullian. There's some disagreement evidently about what they taught, but it's not really important because the only people that believed in this, quote, real presence, the literal body and blood of Christ through the centuries, was the Catholic Church. The early Christians did not believe that. The early Christians believed what we read about in Matthew 26, 29, that it's fruit of the vine, if they believe Jesus, that is. And they believe what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, three times, in verse 26 and 27 and 28, that what we eat in the Lord's Supper is bread. That's what the early Christians believed. There may be some dispute about Origen and Tertullian. I could care less because they're church fathers. They're not inspired. But what Paul said is clear. There should be no doubt about that. He says we eat bread, not flesh, not body. He says it's fruit of the vine. That's what Jesus said. So that's very clear what the early Christians believed.
In a previous debate on Sola Scriptura, Pat said we know which books should be in the Bible. We know they're inspired. Not because of the Bible, but because of the witness of the early Christians. Well, I read several quotes from early Christians that said they believe in the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. The real, literal body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. Not anything symbolic. He says Origen and Tertullian. Well, I was looking for some quotes from Tertullian. Couldn't find them in this book. But they were Catholic. They were Catholic. They believed in the literal body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ being in the Eucharistic bread and the Eucharistic wine. They believed that. The early church believed it. Pat can't give you any quotes from people who said, well, it was merely a symbol. What Jesus meant in John 6, did you say? What Jesus meant in John 6 was symbolic. He just it meant believe in him. It meant do the will of God. Give me the quotes from the early church fathers. He says, well, I don't care about them. Well, he cares about them when it comes to telling us how we have the Bible and know that it's inspired. He doesn't care about them when it comes to looking at their witness for what the early Christians believed about the Eucharist. The Bible says that he, Jesus, died once for all. How can Catholics recreate this sacrifice over and over again? Well, we don't recreate it. We represent it. In the Mass, the priest is acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. Heaven and earth intersect. If you read in Hebrews, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, always offering, always interceding for us. How is he interceding for us? By pointing the Father to his sacrifice on the cross. That's why God the Father should forgive our sins, because Jesus died for our sins. At the Mass, we are intersecting heaven and earth. And that's what's going on. We're there. Jesus is there with us in the Mass. All of heaven is there with us in the Mass. And Jesus is saying, Father, see my sacrifice. We represent the sacrifice to the Father for all of our sins. We don't re-crucify Jesus. We don't recreate the resurrection. We represent the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, as he is doing continually in heaven in front of the Father on our behalf.
I think that's a good point, whoever wrote the question. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He's offered once. Now, I know John just tried to explain that away, but you Catholics know, I can't quote it, so I don't have that with me, that there is a sin, and the Catholics are saying that he's being re-sacrificed every time. That's why it's called the Mass. And that contradicts Hebrews 9:28. You know, another thing this contradicts, as I meant to bring out in discussion, but I just completely forgot about it, Acts 15, verse 29, and this is two or three other places in the New Testament. It says, they were told, the Gentiles, and this would be true of all Christians, that we're to abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Now, we are not to eat blood. The Bible says not to. That's a sin. But if that were really blood in the Lord's Supper, then the Catholics are eating blood and violating this passage. There would be, it looks like to me, until John can show us otherwise, there would be a contradiction in the Bible. For Pat, who started the Church of Christ and when? In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Jesus started the Church of Christ. The church that I'm a member of, and I'm talking about the local congregation, I'm talking about the universal church that I'm a member of, was started by Jesus according to this. The Catholic Church was started many centuries later. In Acts 2, verse 47, we read, again, about this, the specific time it got started, I believe. These people, there was, I think, maybe 3,000 that were baptized. In Acts 2, 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So the way the Lord built the church, Matthew 16:18, is by adding them to the church when they met the conditions in order to be saved. And this is exactly what I did. I did what these people did. As an adult, I was baptized and I was added to the church. That is, the Church of Christ, Matthew 16:18. The Catholics don't do it that way.
St. Ignatius of Antioch, I believe it was, on his way to martyrdom in Rome, wrote several letters to different churches in different cities. And in one of these letters, he mentioned the Catholic Church. This is around AD 110. So we have, very early on, the church being referred to as the Catholic Church. Pat says the Catholic Church didn't come along until later, but you can look in non-biased sources. Who founded the Catholic Church? Jesus Christ. You can find it in an encyclopedia. You can find it anywhere. Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church. You know, Pat says, well, Jesus Christ founded his Church of Christ. Well, but then I would say, well, Pat, give me some names of some of the preachers in the church, your Church of Christ, from the 15th century. from the 13th century, the 9th century, the 8th century, the 17th century, the 18th century. Can't do it. I can give you a list of bishops. If you look up popes in the encyclopedia, not Catholic, not Protestant, non-biased, it'll give you a list of popes all the way back to Peter. Historical documents. We have history on our side in the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church. That's historical fact. To say otherwise is going against history. John, how is the wine and the bread literally his blood and his flesh in Matthew 26 to 28, when Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet and is standing before them in flesh and blood? And I think Pat references it. If it had become his flesh and blood, he would have disappeared. Can God not be in what appears to be bread and what appears to be wine and also be sitting right there at the table with you? Could God do that if he wanted to? I say yes. If you say no, that is impossible for God to do, then you counter Scripture, which says all things are possible for God. So, it was indeed his body and blood in Matthew 26:26-28, because he said it was. Jesus said, "This is my body." Again, he never pointed to a door and said, "This door is my body." He never pointed to a gate and said, "This gate is my body." He never pointed to a vine and said, "This vine is my body." And all those other places he's speaking metaphorically, it was obvious. They even tell you as much in John 16 that he was speaking in figures when he said, "I am the vine." The Last Supper, he held up a piece of bread and said, "This is my body." And Pat Donahue says, "No, it wasn't."
So let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. John's right. In verse 24, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, does that mean it's his literal body, or is that a metaphor? Just like when Jesus said, "I am the door," but he's not wood and hinges. Just like when he said, "I am the vine," when he's not a literal plant. Which one is it? How are we to know for sure? How would you know for sure whether it's literal or it's a metaphor? How about let the context explain it for us? Wouldn't that be fair enough? Just two verses later, he said, after he said, "This is my body," he says, "For as often as you eat this bread." And that's pretty simple. How could it be body in verse 24 and bread in verse 26? There's only two possibilities. One, verse 24 is a metaphor. Like living water. "I am divine. Herod is a fox. This is my mother," pointing to a picture of my mother. "I am the door. I am the bread of life," a metaphor. And that verse 26 shows that it's still bread. Literally. Or the other possibility is it did really change to his body, and it's not a metaphor, but it literally changed back to his bread by the time you get to verse 26 when you eat the bread. There's only one of two possibilities, and both positions contradict John's position. This is more of a comment than a question, but that's okay. Says, perhaps you are unaware, but at communion, the altar server brings water, that is, the living water, to the priest to combine with the blood of Christ. We receive the body, the blood, and the living water. Well, John will get a chance to respond to this, and I'm sure he'll tell us. John will tell us he agrees with that suggestion that John 4 is talking about something happening in the Lord's Supper. In John 4, where Jesus said it is, he will give them living water. If they drink it, they'll never thirst again. Somebody in this audience who wrote that question doesn't think that's a metaphor. He thinks it's talking about literal water in the Lord's Supper, John. I don't think you agree with that, but you tell us for sure. They think it's not a metaphor. Now, is there something not in John 4 that tells us a metaphor? How do we know? This underscores my point. John 4, there's somebody in the audience that thinks John 4 is literal, and that's the water that's offered in the Catholic service. How do you tell them they're wrong, John? It's obvious. You go to all the Scriptures together and you say that it's a metaphor. And just like John 6 says you eat the flesh and drink his blood, you see that's a metaphor by going to Matthew 26:29 when it calls it the fruit of the vine after he said, "This is my blood." And in 1 Corinthians 11, he calls it bread after he called it my body. He shows that John 6 is a metaphor, if John 6 was even talking about the Lord's Supper to begin with. But John, you didn't ever prove that John 6 is talking about the Lord's Supper. Not mentioned anywhere in the whole chapter.
First of all, I cannot speak to the knowledge of the person who wrote this question, what they believe, how they believe it. Whether this, but although the person who wrote this told me, said I didn't really know how to word this, so it could just be the wording. I don't know. But John 4, the living water, why, Pat mentioned a few times, why don't we believe, well, hey, let's add a third thing to the communion table, to the Lord's Supper, you know, blood, body, and water. Well, the fact of the matter is we receive the living water, we receive Christ, the grace of God, through the Eucharist, yes, absolutely, without a doubt. However, in John 6, he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. At the Last Supper, he had bread, which he said, this is my body. And he had wine, which he said, this is my blood. So that's the connection between John 6 and the rest of the Synoptic Gospels. Plus, we have the testimony of the early Christians, who again, Pat accepts for giving us the Bible, the testimony of the early Christians. Testimony of the early Christians says John 6 is referring to the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood if you are to have eternal life.